infrastructure investment has a tremendous amount of to do with issues affecting working people, working class, and people who commute, and all sorts of other issues. What's your thoughts on that?
You know, one of the best ways to help low and middle income households, both in the near term and in the long run, is by significantly boosting and our investment in and modernizing the transportation infrastructure. And I think that comes about in a couple ways. The first is, of course, we're in a very severe jobs crisis right now. This is the short term. So we've got we need to create about 11 million jobs just to get back to where we were before the recession in terms of the unemployment rate, which was at a not so great 5% as it was. On top of that, so even if you just created jobs at the same ratio as the overall economy, that would still really help it disproportionately low income households, because they have suffered so much in the current recession. But it goes actually beyond that, because transportation investments actually provide jobs that disproportionately benefit the people who have been hardest hit by the recession. So if you look at if you just look at direct and indirect jobs from a transportation investment, over half of them go to workers that have a high school degree or less, and that group has a unemployment rate that's much higher than the national unemployment rate. You've got the same thing for Hispanic communities as well, which get about things about a third higher share of the jobs created from transportation investments than the overall economy, and they as well have high unemployment rates, higher than the national population. And then you get into kind of beyond just in the job creation, which is certainly very important. But I think that if we just focus on job creation, we take our eye off the ball, which is kind of what we're creating here. We actually are creating a more efficient and modernized transportation infrastructure, and that leads to lower household costs, that leads to lower business costs, that leads to lower poverty, that leads to greater health and less asthma. And a variety of other benefits that I think really go to addressing a lot of the difficulties that low and middle income households face.
We haven't embarked on a World War II following or recession, Great Depression following sort of national program that everyone's embraced, and that we've, how is it possible that we haven't done that? How do you see it?
I think there's probably two main obstacles. One is that we have this we hold very dearly this idea that any investments need to pay for themselves immediately, and not just pay for them not just pay for themselves out of tax revenue, but actually tax revenue derived from the system itself, which essentially means that if you want to increase investment, you have to increase the gas tax. And that is something that, the gas tax is a tax that I think is good. I think it should be higher for a variety of reasons. But it is also unpopular because, for Republicans, it is a tax, so they don't like it. And for Democrats, it tends to be a relatively regressive tax, I think less regressive than a lot of people think, but it's still certainly regressive. And it, I guess I would add in a third, issue, which is also the, if you look at the United States Senate, tends to be, disproportionately representative of rural states, which would bear, more of the brunt of the gas tax. So by tying any increase in transportation investment to an increase in the gas tax, you're making it very difficult to actually, increase those investments. I think the second reason is also that politicians tend to be so focused on the return to their state in terms of dollars. How much, and this actually, is still talking about kind of the tie between the gas tax and the investments. But you know, if you look at the last reauthorization, politicians paid so much attention to, okay, you know, my state contributed this much in gas taxes and towards the trust fund. We need to get this much back. And that, you know, the focus on that really obscured it. It made it so that no one really was promoting positive visions about where we want to take this country. You know, where are the national priorities? And really, dumbed the entire debate down into one over arithmetic, essentially, and over who's a winner and who's a loser, as opposed to kind of what transportation policy do we need that's in the best interests of the entire nation. I think that this debate so far in the last couple years has been a lot more substantive, but at the same time, you know, we haven't actually gotten really deep into the legislative process, and I hope that we're able to maintain a really kind of forward-looking perspective as we actually get into the legislative weeds, but I'm not overly optimistic.
We have created a wall between this infrastructure issue and the general public and said, we've said this isn't for you. It's too complicated. Leave it to us. Don't worry. We know about these things. And in fact, the political will doesn't seem to be there in sufficient strength to be able to answer the needs that many people feel. What's your thoughts about this whole lack of civic engagement?
You're seeing in cities all across the country kind of a lot of new systems being rolled out where citizens can play more active roles in pointing out kind of deficiencies in infrastructure. There's I think in D.C. you can take a picture with your smartphone of a pothole and say say where it is, and then you text it to the Washington Metropolitan Authority, and then that's on their radar, and they know that that's something that we need to go fix. And that creates kind of an ownership where the people that are living there are looking around their infrastructure to see how they can actually help, instead of them just being have to complain about it whenever they vote. Instead, they can actually be a proactive part of the solution. But I think on the obviously on the national level, it's more of a local issue than anything else. On the national level, I really think that I think we would be doing a lot better in terms of political prospects for infrastructure investments if we had if we hadn't been in both this recession and then also had the political system essentially get dominated by concerns about the deficit. I think that was something where if you're going to invest more in infrastructure, inherently you have to be spending more. And the way we spend more in infrastructure is increase taxes rather than deficit finance it. In this climate, that's just gotten more and more difficult in the last year or so. I think there may have been a window of opportunity after the 2008 election, but there was just only so much oxygen for that. I still think going forward, I'm still relatively optimistic that this is one area where Democrats and Republicans, and I think even the Tea Party Republicans, might be able to find some sort of agreement. I think that a six-year, six-year reauthorization would certainly be difficult, but perhaps a two-year authorization might be easier, where we kind of do a lot of the policy reforms while putting off the fight over kind of a higher or lower investment. And I think also a infrastructure bank is something it's an idea that I still think needs to really be pushed. I know President Obama had proposed it in the 2008 campaign and then again this past fall. But I think it's something that has the potential to be somewhat game-changing if done right and if made actually, independent and if it's allowed to actually, issue its own debt. I think that could be a major game changer.